time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Lori Carrier. That was a prelude and a whetting your appetite for one of the more requested hymns here at Our Savior, which you'll see in today's service. Here I am, Lord. I the Lord. See you in sky. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Lord's house this day in the season of Pentecost in the church's calendar. For those on radio, WPHM, or later podcast, WPHM.net. This is Our Savior Lutheran, Port Huron, Michigan. Welcome to our worship this day. This is a service of the Word, which means no Eucharist. We celebrated Our Savior first and third Sundays and festival days in the life of the Christian family. So this is service of the Word. Radio sponsorship this day is by Cheryl and Willie Deesing, in honor of their anniversary. So we thank Cheryl and Wally for the sponsorship of this broadcast. Lawn service this week will also be provided by Wally and Cheryl. Hope Dorsbacher will be watering the flowers. These are all tasks that need to be done in the congregation's life. So we thank you for that gift of time and resources. And one thing just to let you know, on the back table, I took a few, I think it's 70, pictures of the National Night Out. You can see virtually everything that took place there. It was just a fantastic thing. Previous to that, for the last 8 years, we've been at First Congregation, and due to situations, we have relocated to United Methodist Church this year. So we didn't know how the transition was going to go, but it was wonderful. From Our Savior, we had about 14, 15 people representing our congregation. They did wonderful face painting and making people happy. Let me tell you, the people who had face painting or like a tattoo on an arm or on their forehead, they were from ages probably 3 years old to probably 50. We had adults coming there to get tattoos and images for themselves, along with the children of their family. So that was a great time. The Roman Catholic Church, as well as, which is Holy Trinity Parish, as well as First United Methodist, provided the ice cream. And there was plenty of ice cream, and it was very good. It was always questionable if it was going to rain. If you remember Tuesday, it was in and out, cloudy and looking like it. Judy arrived and said that it was pouring in her house. And don't want to say anything, but when I got in my car to leave, it started to rain. It did not rain prior to that at our setting at First United Methodist. So it was a good time. We had about 250 from the community, and it showed the unity. People kept coming up saying, gee, your churches are not like other churches. So I hope that was a positive message and not something we would want to change. So it was good to get together and work with our sisters and brothers. We had five other denominations along with Our Savior, so it's a visible presence of God's people. We're ready to worship as we gather this day. So if you'll please rise for the confession, page 1. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all of our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and as well as our neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves, and we turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us, that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all of our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. So rejoice in this good news. Amen. And we sing our entrance hymn as you heard in the Pray, Lord. I have the Lord of sea and sky, or known as Here I Am. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise is a new one in the EL book. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. We have sung this before, but we'll do English, okay? Hallelujah, we sing your The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
In the prayer for the day, if you'll join me, we pray together. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you wherever you appear. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated for the reading of God's Word. First reading is by Judy Quater from Genesis.
Good morning. God promises childless and aging Abram that a child of his own will be his heir and that his descendants will number as many as the stars. Abram trusts God's promise, and through his faith he is considered righteous. First reading is from the chapter Genesis 15 verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Second reading by Katie.
Good morning. The second reading for this Sunday comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, We understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Katie. If you're able to stand for the gospel acclamation, please rise. Be ready, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Hallelujah. The gospel this day is from Luke's gospel, who is our gospel writer for this year, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 32. Glory to you, O Lord. And so Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions. Give alms, which is charitable gifts. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth can destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and he knocks at it. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and he will serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace to us this day. Amen. Sermon outline, trail through the scripture readings of the day, or just simply follow with me through the scripture writings. That's where we get the word of God. This summer, for those who've been here or listened to us on podcast or by radio, the account of Abraham receiving a promise that he will be blessed by the Lord God. He'll have many children. The name will be prosperous. He will have many herds. He will abound in material blessings. And it's for the purpose for Abraham and his descendants to bless the nations of this world. Wonderful challenge, wonderful promise. And the first two readings this summer still show a marginal faithful man, Abraham. This particular text is where Abraham had kind of slipped a little. God said, "You shall have the child with your wife, Sarah." The scripture reading for this day gives testimony to the fact that Abraham couldn't wait. He had to do it himself in his mind, helping God. But he was 100% wrong. And the Lord tells him. But he still hung on that he knew God would deliver, so he gave birth through Hagar, the slave woman of Sarah, a child, Ishmael, not Isaac. Sarah will give birth to Isaac and lead the blessed people of God. But it's still used because for 25 years, you got to understand this, God had given Abram this promise. And I think you kind of, I don't know about you, I'm good for maybe a week or two. 25 years? You got to be kidding. No, God will do it God's way. And also to kind of demonstrate the depth of the faith of Abraham. God says it, God can do it. Sometimes I question us humans, the non-Abrahams in this universe, and kind of walk away, give up in frustration or despair that God will do anything. In the text, Abraham is still holding on to a promise delivered by God and the three angels that appeared to him and to Sarah. And he held on to that. This becomes the fundamental point then for the New Testament's development of, well, here's a quotation from the New Testament. The real descendants of Abraham are the people who have faith. Hear that? The real descendants of Abraham are not blood lineage, but our spiritual lineage of faith. So, going to the second reading, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is therefore our edification to understand that you and I are not the first to believe God's word. Pages 6 and 7 remind us that Abraham leads the line. And there are many, as he goes through the writer of Hebrews, to say, you know, starts rattling off all these names and personalities of the Old Testament and displaying how they had faith as well. And it too was reckoned, that means as if it were righteousness. One of the questions people who like to stump Christians with is, well, what about all those people who died before Jesus? Are they eternally lost and damned? The answer is no. How naive you are. God has made provisions for everything. Why do you think you're the only one who first thought of it? God has done it. And God looks at us by faith, as he did with Abraham. I mean, who else 2 weeks ago, when God has said to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes through this wonderful dickering with God to get it down to 5, 10. And God says, okay, for the sake of 10, I'll not destroy the cities. And Abraham couldn't find 10 righteous. So, fiat accompli, it's finished. It's going to be done. And they were. That takes faith to stand before God and approach God in that fashion. In a relationship with God, he is our model. He is the example. In the course of life, I wish we and our generation could understand what Luther and others, a whole lineage of people before Luther, who have lived by faith, and understood our right relationship with God is exclusively, solely, how about those words? Faith. Yesterday, Facebook, I watched some things. Somebody had a posting, I almost gagged. I don't know what the gimmick is. I don't know how they got it, and I don't even care about it. But here's what it said. It showed the person's name, said how old they were, and when they would die. Okay? Then it says, these are how many good deeds you have done, and these are how many bad deeds you have done. Oh, really? And that's by which we are judged. And a lot of people do believe that. They had, if they filled in the blank, they had 16,844 good works. Bad deeds were only 671. Just even filling out the form is one big wrong one. Look, this culture, everything I understand we're part of, you get raises because of good work. You get penalties if you don't do good work. We are judged by our works. But when it comes to God, none of us can meet the standard. Thanks be to God. We don't measure up. If we could, the life and death of Jesus Christ is useless. You've got to understand that. If we could earn it, Christ's presence is unnecessary. But in fact, like Paul will write in Romans, we are more than sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God. And while we maybe count on our little beads how many good things we've done, and God's got to reward me, and if bad things happen, how come I am in a positive balance with God? It happened. Things happen. God only knows why, and it's not because we're in a negative. It's because we're in a sin-filled world. A world that is so estranged from God that, like, I love the psalmist. It says, the Lord God looks down from heaven, and he looks upon his people, and he doesn't see anything to their credit. He just sees people who do not honor him. Yes. These last few weeks, a lot of stuff about the moon landing and all these special things we're doing. And yesterday, if you saw the satellite as well as the telescope out there, they showed new pictures of Jupiter. I hope you see it. If not, look it up. It's beautiful. But, you know, we can only take pictures from I forget how many millions of miles away through radio technology and sending wavelengths out in space and getting them to bounce back and then change them into colors because we don't have color photography. All we can use is radio signals, and people are smart enough to know how to translate that into colors. But the fundamental question is, and I hope scientists, as well as people who hear that, who made this? How is it that we have technology we can see so many millions of miles away, which is, when we look from Earth, it's just hardly a blink of light? It's God who runs the heavens and the earth, and we are absolutely small pickings. So I'll go back to Psalm 8. What is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him, Lord? You surprise us. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy. And yet you honor us. We are special in your sight. And I tell you what, that's the only one's opinion who matters. Your children may say, oh, you were terrible parents. Your boss and employer, or that inner voice in yourself, you'll say, oh, I flubbed that. Your professors, your teachers may say, can't you do better? And God says, you're my child. I love you as a parent would love you. I forgive you. I don't hold it against you. As far as the east from the west, so far God has removed our sin against us. Isaiah. It's that recognition that God, in fact, for people of faith, has a special relationship with us. I've always told the story. Some of you might have heard it before, but it's worth telling. There were two friends. One was kind of an adventuresome person. He says to his buddy, I'm going to take this little wagon and I'm going to push it over Niagara Falls. Now he says to him, do you think I can make it over there and back? His buddy says, you're crazy. Why would anybody do that? But I suppose if you say you can do it, you can do it. Positive thinking. And so the friend who initiated the challenge says, okay, would you sit in the wagon and I'll push you across. It's one thing to say that God is in Christ. It's another thing to say he was holy and righteous and he died for us. But can we trust him? When all is said and done, if we have consciousness before we leave this world, are we going to plead for our righteousness, what good things he did in my life? Or are we going to say, like the hymn, I solely lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. For that's the statement of faith, not of possibilities, but of reality in Jesus Christ. Now we come to the gospel text. Luke 12, pages 8 and 9. Jesus encourages his people who are poor. Now let's get this clear. The world of Christ, first century, was not at all like our country, where we're not just middle class, but many in America are way beyond middle class, and there's many who are under it, poverty. But nothing like the world's poverty, right? That's why we call them third, fourth, fifth world countries. Because they're not where we have even our poor in this country. Okay, Jesus is working with the poorest of the poor. He made friends with them. He offered to them a vision of what could be, because in the world in which they live, they were treated like scum. And it's interesting, even in this century, the church is growing, not receding or collapsing, as it does in the affluent countries, Europe, North America. You know, people have gone astray and said, I'll do after other things, material things, engage my attention and my energy, right? But in the countries of Africa, Latin America, where poverty is poverty, India, Christianity is thriving. We're in partnership through our synod, Southeast Michigan, with Tanzania, Namubulu Synod. We're in partnership with the Lutherans in Bethlehem, Palestine. We have Lutheran church there, many. And they are the outcast in a Jewish culture? They're Palestinians. Who trusts them? They're terrorists. No, they're Lutherans. We call them Lutherans. We're not that revolutionary, believe me. In the world of South America, in Africa, in the Tanzanian Mubulu Synod, for years now, the church has grown immensely. And it's good for Americans from Southeast Michigan to see it firsthand. Because there, people walk, okay? They don't have cars. They walk 2 or 3 hours to go to church. Who in this country would do that? Once they're there, they're probably there for 5 to 7 hours so that they can get back before darkness. Who in this country who are so conditioned to 50 minutes, 60 minutes, and pastor, you exceeded 65? Except those who want to hear and participate with the other brothers and sisters of faith. That's why they are pleased and joyed. It's not a chore. It's a gathering of the saints. We have a whole different view in America because we're affluent. We live by our schedules, our time, our monies, our material things. In my year of internship, you know, with the shooting in Dayton, Ohio, I brought up some of my realities when I served there for a year, my internship, because we were a rich suburban congregation, okay? So the orientation of that congregation is, this service better be done because we want to get to the restaurants before the Catholics let out. It's like, excuse me? We're in competition for feeding our faces? How about feeding our souls, gathering and encouraging the saints to be able to understand what is wrong with us in need of redemption, rebuilding, and how we reach out to the world. When I went there, I was told that this community of Centerville, Ohio, had one of the biggest problems. Back in 1974, they had the highest runaway rate of youth in the nation. Now, these are kids, and I saw it firsthand, and I counseled families. These are kids who had so much given to them by their parents, entitled, right? Wonder what's happening 35 years later. But anyways, they would just simply pick up and leave if they didn't like the rules of the house. Drop out of school, take their car, and go and blaze new trails. Give me a break. I saw parents in distraught, frustration, who tried to give the kids the best of what they had worked for, and to find that it turned around and bit them in the back. It's almost like the Old Testament lesson a couple weeks ago with Ecclesiastes. And what is life? It's all vanity. We're running after the wrong cause. We have chosen a loser, and yet we somehow keep running the race just like a chipmunk or a squirrel or a hamster in a caged wheel, spinning and spinning, but getting nowhere. So Jesus says, look, if you pursue the mammon, that's the word used in the New Testament, the wealth, the treasures, the material things of this world, your heart's going to be there, your loyalty. And I've had many rich people say to me, Pastor, that's not true. It takes a little bit of exploration to see if it's true in their application. But it's looking at, are you bearing the fruit of Christ? Are you bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, as it indicates up there in the banner, is a lot of things. Do you have self-control? Do you know when to say enough is enough? There was one Bible study I did in Indianapolis with the affluent there. You know, one of the best Bible studies we did was written by a Jewish rabbi. When is enough enough? How many things do we need in the pursuit of feeling good about ourselves, the world, and what we have achieved in our lifetime? Hopefully the answer is Jesus Christ. And it is as simple as that first testimony you gave when you said, Jesus Christ died for my sins. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Simple, right? It's a little ditty. We can sing it, and hopefully you have it memorized like I did. And understand, to know Christ is to know the purpose of our life. Then to serve Christ is the intent of our living, so that with all our energy and might, we give glory to the Father. And so one last warning Christ gives in the gospel account. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. Now, we techies in our generation, we would say, oh, they'd have an electronic camera on the door. It's like, give me a break. They didn't have that in the first century. You don't know when the enemy's coming. You don't know. I think there was a cute commercial, not plugging anybody, where the guy comes up to the camera, he's talking to the man who has the video receiver, and the guy says, what are you doing? I'm breaking into your house, I'm robbing you. No! Yes, that's what I do. And you chuckle. You understand, we have much we want to protect. That's because that's our treasure. But Jesus Christ is likewise the treasure. Unfortunately, we are not unique with this statistic. We have here at Our Savior probably 42 young people over the age of 10 who could be in confirmation. My enrollment for this fall is 3 returning and 3 newbies. 6 out of 42. I guess you could say, where are the rest? Where are the parents? Where's the family value system, the core values that makes the teaching and application of the faith important enough to give my time and my gas to drive my child to the church for instruction? And therein you have the problem of our society. It's not the government. No government has passed a law forbidding religious education that I'm aware of. Nobody out there has told the church you can't do that on Wednesday nights. It's usually just sports coaches. And we hit our head constantly against coaches and schedules, Sundays and Wednesdays, because the priority of our families, generally speaking, are for that to be sports, not faith. And surprisingly, maybe it's not, occasionally, when the parents say, we have a conflict, can we suggest another day to do it? They don't. Now this summer, I don't think they're listening, I wanted to show my flexibility. When I was confronted with the last classes of this year, being in conflict with one child out of three children, to have to do sports practice, I could have been hard and fast and say, nope, they should be here. I hate to accommodate the world, but I said to the family, if you will let me talk to the other two families, we'll see if we can change it to another night. And they did, and we did. Compromise. But is this important, or is it just tradition? I hope it's important. And that we in the faith understand that what we have been given by God's Holy Spirit is priceless. You can't buy it. I can't buy it. But God in his infinite mercy and understanding has loved me without my deserving it. And he says, now value what I've given you by the Holy Spirit. And then live out your life in gratitude, showing to brothers and sisters who are yet strangers or people of faith that God is good and God is not our enemy. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day. On page 10, I give you a little story about this hymn. It's one of the ones requested by members you won't find in a Lutheran hymnal. Love Lifted Me is the frame and title. We sing.
Please rise. We affirm our faith in the words of the Church's Creed, the Apostles' Creed. Together we affirm, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue in prayers as Jane leads us.
Treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Lord God, bless and send your church out from each place of worship to be a light to the nations. Wherever we set out in faith, equip us to share our hope in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear. Bless and protect your creation, rising up stewards and innovators to nourish and sustain natural wonders too many to number. Protect bees and butterflies, and send sun and rain where they are needed. Lord, in your mercy, bless and govern the nations, uniting all humankind in seeking justice and peace. Fashion our hearts and our and guide our deeds in love. Lord, in your mercy, bless and comfort those in need, providing shelter to those without homes, foods for those who hunger, companionship to those who are lonely, and health to the sick. Today we remember in our prayers Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jeff Parker's Uncle David, Phyllis Akers, Lisa Slider, Carrie Harper, Lois Pike, Gary Pike, Bill Budinger, Bob McMorrin, Tammy Middleton, Bev Chittister, Dorothy Schess, Connie Cray, Joyce Hyde, and we pray for the families of the family of Sharon Cunningham with her passing, and the family of Jaylee Helton, who where Joe and Elvira Cothart are her great grandparents. We also pray for those serving our nation, Jamie Soulier, Jaron Soulier, Rob Nolan, Faye Wright, and all those that have returned safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning to our communities. Be their help and their shield. Lord, in your mercy, bless and sustain those wanting but unable to bear children, those in the adoption process, and children longing for parents. Welcome and love those who seek homes in a new community or country, and give us eyes to see and hearts to respond to the needs of our newest neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, keep in your care the faithful loved ones who have died in Christ until we join them in the everlasting city, whose architect and builder is God. Lord, in your mercy,
and even more, we ask in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts which make possible our ministry in Christ's name. One of the inserts to your bulletin indicates, as we did in last week's e-letter, 2 weeks from today, we have a fellowship time. And of course, as good Lutherans, we eat We're going to go for a cookout over at Scott Pike's home out on Ponderosa Drive. So if you're free or make the time available, 2:30, we will gather there. Bring your own chairs. And if you got some lawn games or something like that, or cards you want to play with other people from the church, bring it. We're good for it. At 3:30, we will eat. So, now Scott's done it for one of our Bible study classes for 2 years. So we know his food is good. We have done the security and safety test right there, Scott. He is good. And he's not going to give us the deer he gets from the backyard, right? They'll still be running around after we leave, right, Scott? It's kind of neat. He's on that borderline with country and town, and he gets deers that come up into his backyard. That is good. So in the course of things, join us for that fellowship time. People have been asking, are we doing a church picnic, a cookout, or something for this summer? So we thought there's all kinds of things that people go to socially, graduations, weddings, and all that kind of stuff. So staying clear of it, we're waiting till the end of summer, which is then August 25th. So bring a chair, bring food to share, and anything else will kind of guide you as we get closer to the day what our needs are. Okay? There's also noted there at the bottom of that insert, meeting with the churches this last week on Tuesday for the National Night Out. I had gone to I went to the First United Methodist Church to pick up our bundle of information. They had not yet received it from the CROP Church World Services for World Hunger yet. That will be there for the August 27th meeting. I need one or two people from our Savior to be the vessel of communication to our membership. This activity has been going on since World War II. Church World Services is an ecumenical religious group, people of faith, supplying needs of Christians and non-Christians. It's not limited to God's grace to only Christians. It's to God's people, which is humanity, to respond where there is need. In its origin, it was meant to rebuild Europe after the devastations of World War II. Now the devastations are done in the third, fourth, and fifth world countries where famines take place, climate is against them, unrighteous rulers who don't distribute the wealth to their people, but so that people may eat and have bodily life and existence. By people who care, and their name is Christian. So if you can be part of that experience, the next thing we'll start doing in September is asking people to walk. 4 years ago, if you can remember the Times Herald front cover, I'm sure you do. But we had a picture of five of our people from this congregation for the crop walk that day, and four of them were the De Terrys. But we also had another face in that picture. We need to be present to the world, to ourselves, and to those who benefit from the love we express by deeds. So, if you can be one of two people in this first phase, receiving the information and building a strategy, please let me know, okay? Many other things. If you didn't get your financial statement, I noticed this morning, they are still in many people's mailboxes. You will also see that there is in the mailboxes e-letters. If you're not electronic, I put the last one out there this morning for August 5th, last Monday. I'm 95% done with one that will go out tomorrow. So if you have not given us your email address, please write it down, give it to me. In the month of August, we are not mailing out at bulk rate, 205 to get the bulk rate of the newsletter. We're doing it electronically to see how it goes with the congregation. So please either pick it up in the back, the servers, as well as birthdays and calendar. Or go to the website if you don't get the e-letter. Many other things. We've got many things setting up for the fall. The crafters met this last Friday. They've determined that they're gonna meet weekly starting now. So Friday morning, basically what, 9:30? Okay, 9:30 on Friday mornings. If you're a crafteer, bring your crafts, choosing things that you would like for the church's bazaar. Did they set a day, Katie, for the bazaar? Okay. They talked about it. Okay. Talking to the office. Okay. I got it. Got the message. Okay. So the data will be coming out very soon. And give support for them because they provide funding for things that are not necessarily budgeted to do our work. Okay. Now, you're going to learn a new hymn. This is from the EL Worship Book, which is not in your pew, but we partition it out because we have legal rights, copyrights. And it's called Give Thanks. So listen to Lori as she plays it and our gifts are presented. Please rise.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.